You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFMLP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey, and you're listening to the AFM NewsHour. Tonight on the NewsHour, we have an announcement about the Asheville City Council elections set to happen this fall. But first, some background on the office of Asheville City Council. The Asheville City Council consists of a mayor and 6 members of the council. Members' terms of office are every 4 years and are staggered to create smooth transitions. The mayor serves as the head of the council and, along with the members, determines what needs of the city to address and the degree of service to be provided by the administrative branch of city government. Among other things, the city council has the authority to determine policy in the fields of planning, traffic, law and order, public works, finance, and recreation. They appoint and remove people in other city positions and determine the particularities there within. A full list of what city council does is available at ashevillenc.gov/citycouncil. Asheville City Council meets on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday of the month at 5 p.m. in the council chamber located on the 2nd floor of City Hall. The meeting agenda is posted at 3 p.m., the Friday before the meeting date, and all meetings are televised live on the Asheville City Channel, Charter Cable Channel 193. This year, Asheville City voters will elect a mayor and fill 3 regular seats on City Council. The filing period begins July 7th, and the general election is scheduled for November 7th. The seats occupied by Mayor Esther Mannheimer and council members Cecil Bothwell, Gwen Whistler, and Gordon Smith are the seats being considered this fall. Today in the studio, we have the first announcement of candidacy for one of the city council seats open. Here with us is Kim Roney. Welcome to the studio, Kim.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Kim, how long have you lived in Asheville?
Nathaniel and I moved here in 2006, so we're coming up on 11 years. We moved here from Richmond, Virginia. We lived there for a couple years playing rock and roll after we graduated from James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where we met Matt and Mark from Harvest Records, and they opened up the record shop, I think in like 2005. So we were coming here a lot to visit them, and we're attracted to Asheville because it's beautiful and has definitely a vibe of intentional living. People are wanting to play outside or start a business or collaborate on ideas or grow a family or, I don't know, it's a very community-oriented city, and it seemed like the right place for us, and it definitely has been.
What has drawn you to run for this position?
I think that my experience makes me unique, and we need fresh voices. I am a young female who grew up extremely poor in the rural South. We're a car-free family. We walk and bike around town and use the bus. I'm a full-time piano teacher now, but I've worked in several restaurants and bars, so I know what it's like to balance life as a working artist and musician, but paying the bills with a service industry paycheck. I'm passionate about free speech. I've volunteered for 17 years in community radio, including time here at Asheville FM. I was one of the founding board members and served as the station manager from 2012 to 2015. I love showing people how to engage in their free speech rights. I'm also very passionate about transparency. And in the last year, I was appointed to the Multimodal Transportation and Transit Committee for the city of Asheville. So I've always volunteered. I feel like it's my duty. And I'm able to. I feel like it's really important as a person who's among the disenfranchised that we're all human. And we see in our culture, especially with the recent election, we saw that there are ways that we can divide ourselves really easily and quickly. But we're human beings. We're the mammal with the most power on the planet. And we need water that's drinkable. We need food. We need air. We need shelter. And I think there are ways that, as an independent, I can help pull together the people of Asheville to participate in finding solutions to the gentrification of the city. We just saw the piece in the Citizen Times that came out yesterday that Realtor.com has named us number 2 in the city's gentrifying the fastest. And I think we see the burden of the cost of housing, the cost of living, and the lack of wages in our city, and what the effect is on the working class people and people marginalized because of their race, their gender, their sexual preference, or their creed.
Speaking with other members of city council in the past, one thing I feel like I've heard pretty regularly has been, once reaching that office, their hopes for changing or supporting different parts of the city didn't come to fruition given blocks from the state.
Sure.
And other pieces.
And limitations to funding. You can only do so much with what you have, right?
Given that, what do you hope to see in the next 5 years?
Okay, so I think we're going to have to really address affordability. When I look at the numbers for the median wage being close to $50,000, but 30% of the city's making less than $25,000, affordable housing isn't affordable for the working class and poorer people in our town. One in four kids grew up in poverty. So we are going to have to look at working inside the county and with the state on solutions for wage. In addition to the egregious bigotry in the bathroom bill, you know, House Bill 2, there's also limitations to municipalities like Asheville being able to set their own living wage. So we're going to have to get really creative in breaking down those barriers and finding ways around it. We're going to have to address issues of childcare, transit. We're going to hopefully conquer some sort of rent control, whether it's like a homesteader clause. But I think there's some solutions we can get around co-op ownership and land banking and start really using them. And I'd really like us to see free fare transit happen and stop putting the burden of funding transit on the people that require the bus, not just choice riders, but people who depend on it. I think we're going to have to look at the way that the city works, the way that public input is used and valued within the city. And then we're going to have to revisit the communications policy. I know that's brand new, but people feel completely detached and that the government doesn't work for them, even in our own town. I think we can look and see if we can make an artist in residence program for the city so that we can, instead of just saying that Asheville is a city that focuses on the arts, put artists in the room helping to make the decisions and participating in the conversation around policymaking. And we absolutely have to have translators in the major meetings, especially in city council, because we have so many people who speak Spanish and who speak Russian. And I'm concerned that if they come to speak and to give public comment, that there won't be somebody that can understand their needs. And I think it's also going to be really important for us to realize that there is more value in yes when we say no. And that means looking at city grant funding so we're avoiding duplication. We need to truly prioritize female and minority-owned businesses within the local sphere. We need to address inclusionary zoning so we're building affordable housing close to the infrastructure like sidewalks and bus, as well as close to groceries and jobs. And then we need to be ready to receive criticism when it's not working. And I'd be kidding myself if I would think that I'm another superhero city council candidate that thinks that they're going to do this, because there are extreme limitations within the role. But what I'm asking my fellow Ashevillians to do is to join me in being about it being better. And that's going to require people to register and vote often and down ballot. It's going to require us to attend and apply for board and commission seats. And that might mean getting involved in a nonprofit and learning how a board works, how to make a motion and second a motion and participate in the policy making. It might mean babysitting a friend's kids, picking them up from school, making dinner for each other for people that do get boards and commission seats. It's going to be important for us as Ashevillians to talk about sustainable food policy. We need to grow food. All of us need to do it. It is the most nonpartisan political thing you can do, to be growing food and preparing it and sharing the excess that you have. And then as we're able, we are going to have to use active transportation, walking, biking, busing, carpooling. We need businesses to get behind helping find solutions for transportation so that we can free up the wages that are being spent on transportation. The benefit is it's going to free up more parking spaces and we'll actually be a more environmentally friendly city. But it's going to take all of us together doing it. I'm really discouraged when I see the numbers of voter turnouts in off-year elections being 11 to 17% of our city, and I think we can do better. But it means doing it every day, all the time.
I'm curious, of those, which do you plan to highlight in your campaign?
Well, because of the limitations we have with wage, I think we are going to have to highlight the things that everyone's talking about: housing, transportation, childcare, and food. As soon as we can figure out solutions for those main ways that people are spending their money, then we can impact wage. I think there's opportunities for us to encourage citizens to be living wage certified. And if Asheville's living wage, if getting by in the town is costing a minimum of $13 an hour, then we need to find ways to incentivize our local businesses and make it possible and doable for them to get closer to that. Because we're not there.
So of these issues that you're looking at highlighting coming up, how could we expect to see you engage more people into this space? How can we hold you and other candidates accountable for these pieces as they're coming in?
Well, I mean, it seems like you're getting to a point of where we're all at as Americans. We're frustrated. We feel left out of the decision-making process. 47% of the country didn't vote in the national election. But people want to participate here in Asheville. I love my community. I love my city. I want to serve at a higher level than I am right now on the Transit Committee and Multimodal, because I think that I can, and I think that I know our city can be better. So one of the ways that people are going to be able to engage with me is obviously on the website, kimroneyforasheville.com. I'm going to put that list, Be About It, Being Better, and how to do it. Growing food, using active transportation, participating in policy making, at a very minimum, being in the room when the policies are being made. Not just the city council meeting, but planning and zoning, and the tree commission, and parks and rec, and the transit committee. It's going to take all of us doing it together. I'm hopeful that we can. And I'm also on Facebook, Kim Roney for Asheville, as of today. But there's tons of information on kimroneyforasheville.com on how to volunteer, obviously donate, and get more information about the issues and myself as a candidate.
We really appreciate you coming to Asheville FM to announce your candidacy.
Oh yeah, I had to do it here because I was in your seat 2 years ago interviewing candidates, and I understand what it's like to volunteer in a news department. It takes a lot of time and effort, and what y'all are doing, I'm so thankful for. And so keep up the good work.
Kim Roney running for city council this fall. Stay tuned, of course, on Asheville FM as we continue to interview other candidates for the seat in city council.